This message comes from NPR sponsor, Hulu. Based on shocking true events, the new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, tells the story of a savage murder in a small town. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays, only on Hulu.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. Welcome to the Big App, Bill. Bill Curtis. And here is your host at Carnegie Hall in New York, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, everybody. It's so great to be back in Carnegie Hall. And in New York City, we have such a great show for you planned. Later on, we're going to be joined by Gail King of CBS Mornings. But first, we've been here a few times now, so we believe it is now time to retire all the how do you get to Carnegie Hall jokes. Instead, the new official joke is as follows. Hey, Bill, how do you get thrown out of Carnegie Hall?
Just wait till they find out what I did to my dressing room.
If you want to play Carnegie Hall, all you got to do is call us. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Let's welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, this is Luke Hearn from Peachtree City, Georgia.
Peachtree City, Georgia. That sounds like a fictional place made up by a movie that couldn't get the rights to any actual town in Georgia.
Written by somebody from New York.
Exactly. Well, welcome to our show, Luke. Let me introduce you to our panel on stage here at Carnegie Hall first. She's the host of the podcast Fake the Nation. You can see her headlining at Joe's Pub in New York City on January 19th through the 21st. It's Nagin Farsad.
Hey!
Next, an actor and writer who will be appearing at Cold Town Theater in Austin, Texas, December 16th and 17th. It's Peter Gross.
Hi, Luke. Thank you.
And a contributor to CBS Sunday Morning and host of the podcast Real Good, it's Faith Saley.
Hey, Luke, I'm from Georgia, so I'm going to say hey, y'all.
Hey, y'all.
So, Luke, I bet you knew this, but you're going to start us off with Who's Bill This Time. Bill Curtis, right here, is going to recreate three quotations from the week's news. Your job, of course, simply explain or identify them. Do that two times. You will win our prize, any voice from our show you might choose for your voicemail. Are you ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right, here is your first quote.
She's on a plane. She's on her way home.
That was President Biden announcing that whom had finally been released from prison in Russia.
Brittany Griner.
Yes, Brittany Griner has been freed.
Yes, thank God.
About time. This is the happiest an athlete has ever been to hear that they have been traded. This is obviously great news for pretty much everyone in America and, of course, Brittany Griner's family. Terrible news for the Siberian prison camp basketball team, right? The playoffs are starting.
Yeah, there's going to be some big tearful goodbye that they're, like, producing. And she's going to be like, I'm happy to go home.
She probably didn't stay for the office cake when they let her.
Yeah.
She was like, I'm gone.
I feel like maybe we could have traded her for someone who wasn't called the Merchant of Death. That's the only thing. They traded her for... I'm so glad she's back, but I feel like maybe like an assistant of death or an ombudsman of death.
Yes,
somebody
I know.
That's not like the Merchant
of
Death.
Imagine the cred that is going to give her once she is back in the WNBA.
Like, yeah.
You're going to mess with her in the backcourt when she has been traded for the Merchant of Death. Yes. In fact, what happened was this trade was negotiated. They sent Griner back, and we sent to Russia an imprisoned guy. He was a notorious arms dealer named Victor Bout, plus, a spy to be named later. Russia said they had arrested her for possession of, a tiny amount of cannabis oil. So almost a year later, after a terrible ordeal, she was brought home and reunited with her family, who presented her with a Christmas wreath made entirely of weed.
The other thing is the Merchant of Death's family is so happy and relieved that he can go about and continue to do his important and worthy work of death stuff.
As you heard, Biden announced to the nation before, once it was done, she's on a plane.
which was great, Mr. President, but the woman is 6'9". You couldn't spring for economy plus. All right, your next quote is from a man campaigning to be a senator from Georgia.
I live in Texas.
Who are we to engage in punditry? But that might be one of the reasons that man finally lost the Georgia Senate race this week. Who was it?
It was the atomic bomb that we dodged, Herschel Walker.
Herschel Walker, yes. With a win in the runoff election, Reverend Raphael Warnock goes back to the U.S. Senate, and Herschel Walker goes back to Dallas, where he actually lives. Mr. Walker took the defeat well. His concession speech was extremely grateful. He said he's going to put this all behind him and just focus on winning next week's election. But I don't know if you want, by the end of the campaign, Walker's campaign was just running ads with Walker telling voters about himself, and Warnock was running ads with Walker telling voters about himself.
Yeah, wasn't there an ad that was like a bunch of people like on one side just doing that, like just sitting there and listening to Walker speak? And then there was cut to the reaction, and people were like, good Lord, oh man.
Yeah.
That was the whole commercial.
He was talking about wanting to be a werewolf, right?
Yeah.
Instead of a vampire.
No,
that was his platform.
Only thing I liked about him. That's the only thing I
like. Yeah,
was that he chose to be, he'd rather be a werewolf?
Didn't just like just see the movie Twilight? I think he spent like 25 minutes on werewolves and vampires.
The novelization of the movie Twilight based on the books of Twilight.
It was a squeaker, though. That was really too close for comfort. And you watch MSNBC, what's his name? Steve Kornacki. America's sweetheart, right? In his khakis. This audience loves him.
Oh, people here like MSNBC.
Who knew?
But, you know, he's... So I come from Fulton County, where all the smart people do the vote dumps, right? Mm-hmm. But then you see him go around the map to all those red places that are called... Like, the counties are Lumpkin and Bacon and Jeff Davis County.
Here's the thing. I don't know if you know
there's
this.
There's only one?
I guess I can share this with you. He's making all that up. He's just pointing at the squares and pulling names out of his hat, because who's going to know, right? Yeah. They're not watching MSNBC in Lumpkin County. So he can get away with it.
And the happiest guy about the results was Herschel Walker.
Like, yeah.
He didn't want to do the job.
He's proud. He did it. You know, he's never been in politics, but he managed it. He managed all the way. He brought his campaign to full term. So anyway, with Georgia runoff, the 2022 midterms are finally over, and the 2024 election season is underway. It is just so frustrating how quickly the next cycle starts. Walgreens keeps putting out their election decorations earlier every year. Luke, we have one more quote for you. Here it is.
I'm a hugger.
And that was the subject of a new Netflix documentary talking about one reason she didn't fit in with the royal family. Who is it?
Meghan Markle.
Meghan Markle, yes, exactly. Harry and Meghan, who used to be actual royalty but now just live around the corner from an Arby's like the rest of us, they have released this emotional, honest new documentary from Netflix. I'm sorry, Netflix, if you want me to watch reality TV with British people, they have to be baking.
She's still technically... Is she technically the Duchess of Sussex?
They are called the Sussexes.
Yes.
Like, he doesn't have a last name?
Oh, I think it's Susai, actually.
Oh, they're Susai.
No, I'm sorry. Apparently, people were like, it's going to be a massive blockbuster, but I don't know if that's true. I mean, everybody loved Tiger King. Regular King, not so much.
I saw the trailer. It's just black and white, and it's a lot of shots of them looking at their phones and putting their heads in their hands.
But didn't we already see the
royals?
Whole...
They're just like us.
I mean, if you can see The Crown, like, it's much better production value.
That's true. This is true. One of the most interesting revelations in the documentary is that Harry and Meghan regularly refer to each other. They call each other H and M. H&M. It's like hard to tell if it's like the worst pet names in history or the worst product placement.
Yeah.
Like, also, are they guys so cloistered that they don't know that that's a fast fashion brand? Maybe they just think it's cute. They have no idea.
Or maybe they call the relationship H&M because it looks good, but it's not going to last very long. Bill, how did Luke do in our quiz?
Very well. He got all of them right.
Congratulations, Luke.
Thanks so much.
Take care. Right now, panel, it is time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Nagin, employees at the New York Times are going on strike, and they called for subscribers to not engage with the paper in any way. They don't buy it and don't go online, do anything with it digitally on Thursday of this past week. But many customers refused to do that. Why?
Oh, because they, like, really needed news from their paper of record?
No.
Oh, can I have a hint?
Well, these are people, New York Times readers, as you can imagine, liberals, supporters of workers,
yes,
supporters
so
of unions.
Good. They're so
they
good.
They absolutely wouldn't cross a picket line,
yes,
in real life or
not.
Digitally. They'll get their news from lesser papers,
yeah,
like the Washington Post or Wall Street Journal.
Yes, those awful.
But the
papers.
One thing they could not do was what?
They couldn't stop themselves from buying it at a bodega.
We're going to give you six chances. We're going to give you six chances, and if you don't get it right, you're going to be so embarrassed.
Yeah.
You're not going to want to tell anybody.
Yeah, what you're going to do, Nagin.
Oh, yes. Wordle.
Yes.
They couldn't give up their Wordle.
They didn't want to break their Wordle streak.
Thank you.
Nice.
Yes, people found themselves breaking this digital picket line because they didn't want to give up their Wordle streak, not to mention the crossword. I mean, they were getting desperate. They were like, okay, what if I play, but if I make my first guess union? Coming up, small business is our business in our Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
What does it mean to be Black in America? In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as Black experiences, you'll hear, it means everything. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We are playing this week with Faith Seeley, Nagin Farsad, and Peter Gross. And here again is your host at Carnegie Hall in New York, New York, Peter Sagal.
Thank you so much, Bill. Thank you, everybody. Right now, it is time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game on the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey there.
Hey, who's this?
My name's RJ. I live in Berlin, Vermont.
Berlin, Vermont. Ooh. Which is up there near Middlebury, am I right?
Sort of, but I used to live in Middlebury.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, why did you ever leave Middlebury? What'd you do wrong?
I got married.
Oh, that'll happen. Well, RJ, welcome to the show. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what is RJ's topic?
There's no business like small business.
Small businesses always face problems, increasing taxes, competition from corporations, the fact nobody seems to buy Peter Sagal brand, Peter Sagal flavored lollipops. This week, we heard about a new problem facing a small business. Our panelists are going to tell you about it. Pick the one telling the truth. You'll win our prize, the Wait Waiter of your choice, on your voicemail, and also a fraudulent PPP loan. So, are you ready to play?
Let's do it.
First up, let's hear from Faith Seeley.
Rob DiStefano runs a small business, a small and very quiet business. He's a Brooklyn-based mime who hosts children's birthdays in a studio he rents as a party venue. Last weekend, while performing for a bunch of eight-year-olds, he put a kid named Gideon Grody in mime jail, complete with bars he demonstrated, and then locked Gideon in. Gideon really committed. When the party ended, the prisoner would not go home. And because Gideon's parents believe in children's autonomy, they refused to drag his body out of invisible jail. So Gideon stayed incarcerated for the entire weekend. His mom slept outside the jail like a sober prison guard. Gideon had a jailbreak just once to use the bathroom and then hustled to lock himself back in and ostentatiously swallow the imaginary key. Sadly for Rob, the mime, the other birthday party scheduled for the weekend canceled because it's creepy to have a strange kid doing push-ups and miming writing tally marks on an invisible wall during your own child's party. Gideon finally left once his parents promised him a puppy for Hanukkah.
A mime loses a weekend of bookings because a little kid will not leave his invisible jail cell. Your next story of a small business speed bump comes from Peter Gross.
If you were an online retailer that sold firearms and the occasional floral arrangement, naming your store wouldn't be difficult. You wouldn't call it Pistols and Petunias or Weapons and Water Lilies. No, you'd go for the obvious, Guns and Roses. A Houston-based online gun dealer, TexasGunsAndRoses.com, did just that. They do indeed sell roses, even though the Texas state flower is the bluebonnet and the Texas state gun is the all of them. The band, Guns N' Roses, filed a lawsuit this week claiming trademark infringement. But the store says the name has nothing to do with the band. The band uses an N apostrophe, while the site uses the whole word and. Also, it's not like the owner of the site dons a red bandana and sways side to side asking customers, "Where do we go now?" Whatever the legal ruling in this case, it's sure to have huge implications on other businesses named after bands, like the Alice in Wonderland-themed snow tires company, Alice in Chains, or the law enforcement organization, the police.
A store that sells Guns N' Roses is sued by the band Guns N' Roses. Your last story of a bother to a biz comes from Nagin Farsad.
Local retailers Ashley McConnell and Calvin Godfrey of Yorba Linda, California, were thrilled to announce the opening of their new store, AshCal, a portmanteau of their two names. The store is a haven for self-care salves, bath bombs, lavender-filled eye pillows, and other items that no one actually needs, but everyone secretly loves getting. It's like Goop meets a less expensive Goop. The store's opening was a hit with locals, and the AshCal owners were pleased until one day they arrived to see piles of garbage in front of their door. Really fragrant garbage, like from the household of people who debone fish recreationally. You see, Southern California is lousy with Persian language speakers, and the portmanteau of their name, AshCal, means garbage in Farsi. Everyone thought it was a garbage and recycling hub. If you've ever seen an episode of Shaws of Sunset, it explains why the garbage included a shocking amount of eyebrow threading tools and lightly used Gucci handbags. Trying to make the best of the situation, the owners tried to resell some of the refuse, like the errant Mercedes hood ornaments, Persian rugs, and unopened bottles of Drakkar Noir. We're really classy people.
All right, here are your choices. So like I said, somebody tried to open a small business and immediately got in trouble. Was it from Faith Saley, a mime who had a kid at a birthday party so enthusiastically embrace the miming of a jail cell that he had to close down for a weekend? From Peter, a store that just wanted to sell Guns N' Roses, and because they called themselves that, got sued by the band, Guns N' Roses. Or from Nagin Farsad, a store that wanted to sell fancy stuff, but sadly, their name meant garbage in Farsi, so that's what they ended up getting. Which of these is the true story of a problem for an entrepreneur?
I'm going to say B.
You're going to go for B. That's Peter's story. At the store in Texas, where else? trying to innocently sell Guns N' Roses like any American businessman and getting in trouble with the band. All right, well, to bring you the correct answer, we spoke to a reporter who was covering the real story.
There's a flower and firearms shop in Houston, Texas, called Texas Guns N' Roses.
That was Dan Solomon, a senior editor at Texas Monthly, telling us that, yes, there is a store named Guns N' Roses being sued by Guns N' Roses. Congratulations, RJ, you got it right. Giving the point for Peter Gross, you've won our prize, the voice of your choice, on your voicemail. Congratulations, and thanks so much for calling.
Thanks so much, Peter.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
And now the game where we ask people who know everything and everyone about nothing and no one. It's called Not My Job. Uh-huh. No matter how much you think you are a morning person, you are nothing compared to Gayle King. As the host of CBS Mornings, she is up before you are. She is already looking great and feeling sharp, talking to incredibly important and famous people, and basically starting the nation's day. We are lucky she is not back in bed yet and can join us here at Carnegie Hall. Gayle King, welcome to Wait, Wait.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you. Peter?
Yes.
I have been up since 3:24 a.m., and I have to get up tomorrow at 3:24
a.m. Well, that's actually the first thing I wanted to ask you. You get up, you said, at 3:24,
yeah.
You said?
So my alarm goes off. I do three snoozes. Then I get in the tub, because I actually, guys, bathe every single day. Then the car picks me up, go to the Times Square, our studio in Times Square, do hair and makeup, because I don't wake up this cute. It takes a village.
Okay.
And then it's off to the races.
All right. Let's talk about your interviewing style, because you're famous for it. Do you have a secret to interviews? In terms of preparation or an attitude?
Well, I do think I'm very prepared. So okay. If an author comes on, I read their book. If there's a movie, I watch the movie. If there's a TV show. And, you know, we have great producers who take really copious notes.
Right.
They read all the books, they give you the questions and all that good stuff. But I like to read the book myself because I'm always looking for a little nugget that's not on the sheet.
You have done a lot of tough interviews. Can you tell us, like, the toughest interview you've ever done?
The toughest interview would be with Frank Zappa, may he rest in peace.
Yes, I remember famously he was not taken kindly to your questions.
No, he was not. He was not nice. I mean, you know, his kids' names are Dweezil and Moon Unit. Now, call me crazy, but I'd never heard those names before. And so I figured there was a backstory to it, was a backstory. So I was a baby reporter at the time, but it's still so scarring and jarring, I still remember it. And I said, you know, those are very interesting names. How did you and your wife come up with them? Do they have a meaning? He goes, no, they're just names, like Gayle. Stupid question. I mean, and I went, okay. And then later, I saw someone else ask the exact same question. He had a whole story about where the names came from.
Jeez.
He had a whole story. So it just shows to me, it just said to me, on that particular day, he didn't feel like what I call playing. He didn't feel like engaging.
Right.
Definitely don't ask Peter where the name comes from, because I've asked him before, because we have the same name. He loses his mind.
You do something that I never have had the nerve to do, which is a lot of live broadcasting.
Oh, I love that.
Well, do you? Because
yes.
I'm terrified because I constantly make mistakes and no one ever finds out.
No. I love that, Peter. The reason why I love it is because you can't take it back. When you're taping something,
that's why I hate it.
Well, but even psychologically, if you're doing a pre-tape with someone, I hate those because we all know in the room, well, if it screws up, we can do it over.
Right.
So I really love live because you're working without a net.
What I was going to ask you was, have you made any like on-air mistakes?
Can
you think of one you'd share?
I think the one that I get a kick out of now. At the time, I was mortified, but I was a baby reporter just starting out, and I said, you know, it was my first anchor job, a weekend anchor, and I'm sitting there with two white guys who were on the set with me, the sports guy and a weather guy, and I meant to say, you know, we'll all be back next weekend. Instead, I said, we'll all be black next weekend. And then, you can actually find that somewhere. And then, you know, and they both like froze up. People are so afraid of race. They're so afraid of race. And they like, and I went, well, I'll still be black. The rest of these guys will be black.
I believe you were public about this, which is how we know, is that you're a big Taylor Swift fan.
Love her.
Like all reasonable people.
Yes.
And that you...
And I want to go to that show, too.
But you had the same problem as everybody else. getting tickets. You were online for 3 hours with Ticketmaster like everybody else. Is that
no,
true?
I haven't tried that with Taylor yet.
No, you haven't?
No.
Really?
But I do want to go.
Right.
I waited in line for an hour for the Popeye's fried chicken sandwich. I thought that was, you know.
I'm sorry.
I'm
sorry, what?
And
everybody's crazy for the Popeye's fried chicken sandwich.
When it first came out, I said, you know, what's all the fuss all about? I went to 9 different ones because they were sold out. I waited in line for an hour, and I tell you, that chicken sandwich was delicious. So
I would like to go to Taylor. But did anyone in line say, aren't you guilty?
Yeah, they did.
And I went, I know.
But I do want to go to Taylor. I'm trying to figure that out. It seems to be a bit of a kerfluffle in getting the tickets.
I think
no one in this entire vast auditorium believes that you can't just make a call. I'm just telling you that. I don't believe it. Does anybody here believe
but
that
Peter, you... Peter, I didn't say I wasn't going to make a call.
Okay, all right.
You said you were online for three hours, and I said,
man.
No, I'm not.
You totally...
Because I'm definitely going to make a call.
You totally caught me. You see right through me.
But don't let her know that she's on par with a chicken sandwich.
Oh, right.
When you make that call.
Right. Taylor, I love you. You're not like a chicken sandwich. I wouldn't wait in line for you. But
listen, Peter, I never ask for freebies.
All right.
I always say I want to pay. I just want to have good seats.
I know.
But I never say, look, I'm trying to get a freebie. I've never done that.
All right. Keep that in mind, everybody.
Okay.
Well, Gail King, we are delighted to have you here with us in this amazing place, but we have invited you here to play a game. This time, we are calling...
Gail King, meet the real Gail King.
Oh, no, Bill.
Namely, meteorologists. We're going to ask you 3 questions about weathermen. Answer 2 out of 3 correctly. You'll win our prize for one of our listeners, the voice of anyone they might choose on their voicemail. Bill, who is Gail King playing for?
Alex H. Nagler of New York City.
I'm guessing...
Who is that? Where is Alex?
I don't know. I don't think Alex is here. I think they were too nervous to come.
So he's not in the room?
Not in the room.
But can I ask you how you came up with me for weathermen?
Well, you see, it's a terrible pun. Gail King.
Gale Force wins.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to do. I didn't focus on the Gale. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Most people, Peter, it's not a criticism. Most people focus on the king.
Right.
So you threw me.
All right.
All right, Peter.
Here we go.
Proceed.
Now, being a meteorologist on TV is not the only career path for weather forecasters. At one time, if you were interested in forecasting the weather, you could also become which of these? A small talk consultant who provided more interesting things to say about the weather to people you hardly know. B, an elite special forces weatherman who went behind enemy lines to predict the weather there. Or C, an exotic pets weather enclosure specialist who provides high-end clients exactly correct environments for their pet pumas, jaguars, crocodiles, and armadillos.
Oh, my gosh. That's too involved. I don't like that one.
All right.
I'm going to go with B.
You're going to go with B, the special forces weatherman. You're right. Now, until they changed the job description in 2019, you could join the Air Force and become a special operations weather technician, someone who could tell you if it was raining, but then would have to kill you. All right, you got one right. Here's your next question. The first person to name a hurricane was the great 19th century Australian weatherman Clement Ragg. That was his name. But eventually he lost that privilege. Why? A, he would name the hurricanes after prominent people he disliked. B, when he ran out of names, he would just say, Hurricane Agatha, no, the other Hurricane Agatha. Or C, he blew away while trying to personally research if Australian hurricanes really spun a different direction than Northern Hemisphere hurricanes.
A.
You're going to go for A. You're right. He would name the hurricanes.
Nice.
He would name a storm after a politician and then say, well, Typhoon Timothy is causing problems again. Last question. Michael Fish was a meteorologist for BBC television for 30 years. He received medals and awards for his career. But now he has a unique honor. What is it? A, the BBC's live weather camera is called the Fish Cam, even though it is pointed at Big Ben. B, in the UK, to quote, go fishing now means to predict the weather. Or C, he is the automatic result Google gives you, the very first one, when you look up worst weatherman ever.
I think it's between A and B.
You can go between the fish cam and worst weatherman ever.
Can I phone a friend?
I'm
going to go. Audience?
They think it's A.
A.
They're like A. No, it was actually C.
Oh! Was it C?
Yeah.
It was C. If you
I would have never chosen C.
Don't do it now, but when you go home, Google worst weatherman ever. His name will pop up, and it's all because of a famous incident.
I would have never chosen C.
Where he went on TV, this guy, and he said, earlier on today, apparently a woman rang the BBC and said she heard there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't. And then the great storm of 1987 hit.
Oh, my God.
Bill, how did Gail King do in our quiz?
Officially, uh-oh, you have won if you get 2 out of 3, which you did. She's so a you're
winner.
A winner.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah. Gail King is the co-anchor of CBS Mornings. Gail King, thank you so much. You are done, and we are grateful.
Woo.
In just a minute, pipe down up there. It's our listener limerick challenge. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to join us on the air. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
This message comes from Capital One, presenting sponsor of the 2024 Tiny Desk Contest. Earlier this year, unsigned musicians from around the country submitted their original songs for the 10th annual Tiny Desk Contest. The panel of judges are hard at work picking standout entries, and you can follow along and choose your favorite videos as well. The winner gets to play their very own Tiny Desk concert, then headline a tour with NPR Music this summer. Want to come along for the ride? Visit tinydeskcontest.npr.org to learn more, then check out the Venture X card from presenting sponsor Capital One. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message comes from Easy Cater, committed to helping companies from nonprofits to the Fortune 500 find food for meetings and company events. With online ordering and 24/7 live support, learn more at easycater.com.
This is my voice. It can tell you a lot about me, and I'm not changing it for anyone. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of NPR episodes centered on Black experiences. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We are playing this week with Nagin Farsad, Faith Saley, and Peter Gross. And here again is your host at Carnegie Hall in New York, New York, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, everybody. Thank you all so much. In just a minute, Bill gives you all a home where the buffalo rhyme in our Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Faith, a billionaire art collector, is attempting to collect a $400 million insurance claim because his art was damaged in a fire. Now, it wasn't burned, it didn't get wet, but the man says he suffered a loss because the paintings have lost their what?
Don't rich people use the word luster?
I'm gonna give it to you because I don't know how you're going to get any closer. He says that he wants $400 million in an insurance payout because his paintings have lost their, and I quote him, their oomph.
Oh.
The man is Ronald Perelman, very famous billionaire here in the city, and he lost five valuable paintings, or he had these five very valuable paintings at his house out in the Hamptons. There was a fire a few years ago. Luckily, the art was in protective cases. It was safe. It was unharmed. But he says now that he walks by the paintings, you see, and the thrill is gone.
I have a feeling all of his ex-wives also lost their oomph.
Yeah.
The same thing. And I walk by Charisse, and I'm like,
Yeah.
That's She's, more or less
it. You look
it.
Different.
Yeah. Peter, the New York Times ran a story on this elite concierge service which for about $10,000 provides every luxury to its wealthy clients so they can do what without all the usual hassle?
They can go to a restaurant and be the only person there.
No.
I will take a hint, or one of you can guess. I don't know.
No, I'll give you a hint. Despite the fact that they pay all this money for all this service and help, they still have to swim, bike, and run.
Oh, they can run a triathlon for you?
Well, not just a triathlon, an Ironman.
What?
I don't understand. I will explain. So let's say you've decided to do an Ironman. That is a 2.5-mile swim followed by a 112-mile bike race, and then you have to run a full marathon, but that sounds so hard. So instead, you sign up for Ironman XC, and that service provides all the comforts. They will carry your equipment to the race site. They'll get you a luxury hotel room right by the start. And trust me, having done it, a marathon is a lot easier when a professional runner is carrying you in a baby Bjorn.
Do they also shave your legs for you?
And I'm sure that can be arranged at an additional
cost. Help with the chafe?
They do, yes.
That's not the hard part of the Ironman triathlon.
Well, no.
It's like the hard part is the doing of it.
Yeah. So the idea is like for $10,000, they get this concierge luxury treatment. For $20,000, they don't have to do the race at all. Nagin, a town in New Zealand is bursting with pride over a group of 40 school children who got together and gave back to their community by going out and doing what?
Dancing.
No. I'll give you a hint.
Yeah.
They just hired someone to be in charge of this in New York. They could have hired these kids.
These kids started like murdering rats?
They, in fact, murdered rats. This town is on a little island, and they're concerned with this rat population on the island that's killing native birds. So they decided to unleash on these rats the most fearsome predators known to man, elementary school children. They held a competition for the kids, and altogether, the kids caught and killed 600 rats.
What?
In 100 days, and then they all, at the end of the competition, displayed their kills on the school lawn.
This was 40 children. This is like a word problem for fourth graders. 40 children killed 600 rats?
Yes, in 100 days. So an
average.
That's
1,000 each.
Do we know how they killed them?
Oh, any way they could think of, Faith.
I know, and was it just like with their bare hands? Like how?
They got an extra special prize. I believe they used traps that they made themselves.
What if the second place person got 2 and the first place person got 590?
That's true. You never know.
Then you have a serial killer.
It'll be like, one
head.
Psycho and then one person who tried and the rest of them like went into the woods and were like,
Little Billy and his dead eyes. Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. You can also catch us most weeks at the Studebaker Theater in Chicago, Illinois. And you can see the Wait Wait stand-up tour coming soon to Raleigh, Tampa, and Atlanta. Tickets and more info is at nprpresents.org. Hi, you're on Wait Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Pam Sussin from Decatur, Georgia.
Hey, Decatur. I know Decatur, home of our dear friend Roy Blunt. What do you do there?
I'm a director of development for a financial planning practice.
Okay.
And I'm also a mom to a 15-year-old girl who said she would die of embarrassment if I mentioned that on air. So I am.
Oh, my God. You've killed her.
I know.
Is there any other embarrassing facts about your daughter you would like to share?
Hey, you know what?
With us and the world.
No, read her diary.
Yeah.
Go grab her diary.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Well, welcome to our show, Pam. Bill Curtis is going to read you 3 news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly in 2 of the limericks, you will be a winner. You ready to go?
Yeah, I am.
All right, here is your first limerick.
In this race, aging men will compare their brawn. In 26 miles, they're there and gone. For this cardiac doc, the race held 2 shocks, saving 2 heart attacks. In 1.
It's a little tricky.
In my defense, it is quite a bad connection.
Yes.
And remember, this isn't a sprint.
Right. It's a marathon.
Yeah.
Nice hit.
This last weekend, one morning, this doctor went out to run a half marathon, and while doing it, he saved two people's lives. But, you know, you went to a bottomless mimosa brunch, which is also cool. So first one guy collapsed, and the doctor did CPR and got him in an ambulance, and then he got up to continue running, and then it happened again, and he saved the next guy, and he sent him off in an ambulance. This is really impressive until you realize he was getting beat by two guys with heart problems. All right, here is your next limerick.
Upstairs, they are fighting with sabers or revisiting Hercules' labors. The sounds from outside will get under our hide, but the noise we hate most is our...
neighbors?
Yes, neighbors.
It is.
A new study has determined the most annoying sound in the world is not snapping gum, it's not fingernails on a chalkboard, it is the sound of your upstairs neighbors. Researchers have tested a series of sounds on people, and they monitored the test subjects for signs of agitation. The sounds of someone upstairs just doing regular things, walking, dropping something, proved to be the most annoying of all. Imagine how happy downstairs neighbors everywhere are that after 29 years off Broadway, Stomp is finally closing.
This is a very urban affliction.
It really is.
Right?
Yeah.
You fancy people who live in houses, Peter, you probably don't have to deal with upstairs, downstairs.
Well, there
neighbors.
Is somebody living on their third floor. We've never seen them. Here is your last limerick.
After 8 cups, I feel like a blotter. To the bathroom I slosh as I totter. But this study I'm seeing has freed me from peeing. I don't need to drink all this.
Water?
Water, yes. The whole thing you've heard all your life about drinking 8 glasses of water a day, that is not actually true. I hate to tell you this, but if you have committed yourself to drinking that much water, you have been peeing a lie. This 8 glasses a day thing started in a report from 1945. That said adults should consume 64 ounces of water a day, but apparently no one read the text that explained that we get most of that from the water content of the food we eat. You know, that stuff counts, all the water in rice, in pasta sauce, and watermelon, and water chestnuts, and water pizza. Also, this was 1945. Whiskey counted.
Is it just me, but like, I didn't drink a glass of water until I was like 18. Like, when I was a child in the 80s and 90s, nobody drank, nobody talked about it. And then suddenly, I feel like when I was 18, everyone's like, you gotta drink water, like, constantly.
And Sprite. Put on sunscreen.
Yes.
Right.
I drank sunscreen.
There you go.
I drank 64 ounces of sunscreen.
Yeah.
Bill, how did Pam do in our quiz?
Pam did great. She got them all right. Good going.
Congratulations,
Pam.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Intuit QuickBooks. Small business masterminds have one thing in common, making their money work harder with a business bank account from QuickBooks Money that now earns 5% annual percentage yield, making your money work as hard as you do. That's how you business differently. Learn more at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds in envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill in the blank questions as they can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Bill, can you please give us the scores?
I can. Faith and McGee each have 2, and Peter has 3.
All right. Huh. We will arbitrarily choose you, Faith, to go first. The clock will start when I begin your first question, fill in the blank. On Tuesday, a jury in Manhattan found the blank organization guilty of criminal tax fraud.
Trump.
Yes. Thursday, the House passed a bill to protect same-sex blank.
Marriage.
Yes. After he tried to dissolve the country's Congress, the president of blank was removed from office.
Peru.
Yes. On Tuesday, Hungary blocked an EU proposal to send $18 billion in economic assistance to blank.
Ukraine.
Yes. This week, a man traveling by train in China was fined $500 after he blanked.
Killed too many rats.
No, after he reclined his seat without warning the person behind him. On Monday, the Department of Homeland Security said it would delay blank requirements for air travel until 2025.
Real ID.
Yes. This week, comedian Jared Carmichael was named the host of the 2023 Blank Awards.
Golden Globes?
Yes. This week, a 72-year-old hospital patient in Germany was arrested after she turned off blank because it was too loud.
Oh, something loud, David Hasselhoff song.
No, she turned off another patient's oxygen machine.
Oh, my
God. She couldn't sleep. It was too loud. So she went over, she turned it off. Doctors run in. They resuscitated the patient.
Oh, my.
They explained to the woman the problem. You can't turn that off. It's keeping her alive. Fine. Honest mistake. She didn't know. An hour later, she did it again.
Oh, my God.
This sounds like a Benny Hill sketch.
Bill, how did Faith do in our quiz?
Faith got 6 right, 12 more points, total to 14. She's in the lead.
All right. Nagin, you're up next. Please fill in the blank. According to new data, blank prices in the U.S. are now cheaper than they were a year ago.
Yes?
Yes. On Wednesday, authorities in California said they were seeking over $600,000 in back taxes from disgraced rapper Blank's fashion company.
Kanye West?
Yes. This week, targets inside Russia were struck by drones assumed to have come from Blank.
Ukraine?
Yes. In a new report, scientists say that Discovery's Shark Week lacks diversity and overrepresents Blank.
Sharks.
No, men named Mike.
Okay.
There have been more men named Mike on Shark Week than women. Thanks to a combination of COVID, RSV, and the flu, the CDC has advised blanking over the holidays.
Oh, like super partying down.
Yeah, go for it. No, masking. On Monday, Michael Avenatti, the former lawyer for Blank, was sentenced to 14 years in prison.
No, the woman. I didn't move. Stormy Daniels!
Stormy Daniels!
Yes.
A New Orleans man who was caught having a threesome with two dominatrices at his place of work had to resign from his job as a Blank.
He was an accountant?
He was a priest. The priest...
Whoa!
Hey, New Orleans, baby. The priest was forced to resign after passersby saw him having a threesome with two dominatrices. Dominatrices? On the church's altar. At least that's what the person thought they saw. But honestly, it's pretty hard to tell the difference between a dominatrix and a really stern nun.
Well, that's my Halloween costume for next year.
Bill, how did Nagin do?
So good.
Four right, 8 more points, 10 total. But Faith still has the lead.
How many, then, does Peter need to win?
6.
All right.
To win.
Here we go. Here we go, Peter. This is for the game. Following weeks of protests, China began lifting its toughest blank restrictions this week.
COVID.
Yes, on Tuesday, a county in North Carolina declared a state of emergency after its blank was damaged in an attack.
Like power grid.
Yeah, this week, 25 people allegedly plotting to overthrow the government were detained in blank.
Germany.
Yes, on Wednesday, Time magazine named blank its person of the year.
Zelensky.
Yes, and the spirit of Ukraine, best known for her role in Cheers, actress blank passed away at the age of 71 this
Kirstie
week.
Alley.
Yes. This week, a man in Georgia was arrested after his local police department posted their most wanted list online, and he blanked.
He was on it, but told the woman that he was dating whenever she went to the post office to never look at the most wanted list because he was on it.
No. He went to the post and added a comment, quote, "What about me?" The man had outstanding warrants, so he was basically like, come on, police, these are outstanding warrants. So while not making the most wanted list, he finally got what he most wanted. Bill, did Peter do well enough to win?
Well, he got 5 right, 10 more points, but with 13, Faith still has the win.
All right. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists to predict, after Harry and Meghan, what will be the next shocking Netflix documentary. But first, let me tell you that Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our public address announcer is Paul Friedman. Our tour manager is Shayna Donald. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Jennifer Mills, Miles Dornbos, and Lillian King. Our production assistant is Sophie Hernandez-Simeonidis. Special thanks to Vinnie Thomas. Regular thanks to Peter Gwynn. Our intern is Vaishnavi Naidu. Technical direction is from Lorna White. Our CFO is Colin Miller. Our production manager is Robert Newhouse. Strauss. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog, and the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Michael Danforth. Now, panel, what will be the next shocking documentary from Netflix, The Guin Farsad?
Herschel Walker will direct a searing documentary about the difference between werewolves and vampires.
Peter Gross.
Kanye West, Kyrie Irving, and Mel Gibson will compete making hamantash and babka and rugula on an 18-part docuseries, The Great Yiddish Bake Off.
And Faith Saley.
Musk at Dusk, a deep dive into the untold story of what's going on with Elon Musk's nightstand and how he keeps his face so waxy.
Well, if any of that happens, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Thanks to Nagin Farsad, Peter Gross, Faith Saley. Thanks to our friend Monica Hickey. Thanks to the staff and crew here at Carnegie Hall. Thanks to our fabulous audience who came out to welcome us back to New York. Thanks to everyone at WNYC. Thanks to all of you at home for listening. I am Peter Sagal, and we'll see you next week. This is NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Intuit QuickBooks. Small business masterminds have one thing in common, making their money work harder with a business bank account from QuickBooks Money that now earns 5% annual percentage yield, making your money work as hard as you do. That's how you business differently. Learn more at QuickBooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds in envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Rosetta Stone, an expert in language learning for 30 years. Right now, NPR listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership to 25 different languages for 50% off. Learn more at rosettastone.com/NPR.
In this country, some truths aren't self-evident. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as wide-ranging and real as the people who tell them, we celebrate the Black experience for all its soul and richness. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get podcasts.